it low? Should I bite my tongue? Or should I march with every stranger from Twitter to get shit done? Used to hang my head low, now I hear it loud. Every stranger from Twitter is gonna burn this down.
From a nameless but reasonably warm studio in the south end of Canada, welcome to Season 7, Episode 10 of the Sense Call-Ups for Monday, January 21st, 2019. I'm Cardinal, Canuck and Panner here as well. It's bitterly cold out right now, but the Sens have actually been pretty hot lately. That said, most of the talk these days is about pending UFA player contracts, not about the weather or even how the team's playing. I'm sure we'll get back into that before too long.
Eventually.
Yeah, we're going to rip through some games. We'll get into it pretty quickly.
On this podcast. Yeah.
So, boys, balmy out. Nice.
Oh.
Mild.
Well, yeah, because when we were texting, was it yesterday that every day is freaking merging? I think it was yesterday when we were texting. It's like,
what? How cold was
how
it?
How cold was it at the outdoor game?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it had to be minus 30.
No. Minus 10.
And then I looked it up because I read or Googled it, and a Bruce Garriott article came up. It was minus 10, felt like minus 20.
Yeah,
so that sounds about
like,
right.
It was minus 39 out.
So it felt like what the actual temperature is before the wind chill right now.
Yeah.
But like, as I said during our text inferno yesterday, you were sitting still. And that
makes things way worse
than moving around in this weather, if you're properly dressed, is at least doable in the short term. This is even getting cold for me, and I freely admit it.
Yeah, I noticed you're not wearing shorts today.
No, I left my sandals in the car. it is even cold for me. If properly dressed, I'd be okay, but it is cold. It is genuinely cold.
Yeah, that's why I'm so thankful we had the outdoor DJ at that outdoor game, because he kept us moving.
Yeah,
that joke's never gonna die. Poor Raymakers. poor Raymakers.
Oh, it's been a little while.
That's all my fault too.
we have some games to get through. We're probably going to rip through them pretty quickly because there are some things we want to talk about. We're all giddy. We are so tired, or at least two of us are.
I'm tired.
Oh, are you tired too? Okay, so we're all. It's a Monday night. We're all exhausted from.
From
far too much going on more than anything else. We'll get to go those in just a second. Some quick housekeeping notes. First, a delayed because we haven't been together in a while. I'm sorry I missed the last show. My health was okay, but my voice was absolutely fried.
I just didn't want to be here.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to be able to talk very much.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's the point of me being here if I can't talk? Because that's all I do. So I apologize for missing the last one, but... at least I'm back now. My voice is mostly okay. It's still a little gravelly, but yeah, that's the way I sound most of the time anyway. A big thank you to Liam for your donation to the show. We're a little late. Liam, that's not right.
We already got him, but you're right.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking it's Patrick. My apologies. Patrick is the name I'm thinking of because I was going through everything yesterday, and that was since I was last here. So thank you again, Liam. But also, Patrick, thank you. It'll be refilling the beer fridge quite shortly. Quick housekeeping before we get going. The email address, as always, is podcast@sensecallups.com. The forums at sensecallups.com have the game threads, which are still happening on every game, as well as the season-long hockey pool with all sorts of interesting things going on, like prop bets. There's a couple of prop bets for tomorrow night's game. Last night's game. First Sens penalty... first goal, first penalty, and the over-under. That's right. That's for tomorrow's game. The over-under on a number of Senators' shots, as well as who scores the first goal and who gets the first penalty, as well as predicting the score, the game-winning goal, etc. So lots of fun. And lots of sarcasm and Rush lyric quotes and beer references and that sort of thing. The waiver wire is 1-844-SCU-SENS or 844-728-7367. Always good to hear from folks. I think we have one voicemail or two voicemails.
Two, I think.
We have a couple of emails for later on as well. Anything else?
Let's do it.
We're all tired. Let's go.
Game on!
I have to say, I really, really like how compressed, limit noise gated the kick drum is on that. It's so doop. It's so quick.
Oh yeah, and that's double bass.
There's no sustain on that at all. It's like doop, and that's it. Anyway, I quite like that. Over to
you. Surprised you didn't pick that one.
You looked at me like, hey, wait, we won two games. Don't burn it down.
Yeah, I was like, really? It's like,
all right, over to you. I need another beer. Tonight's show is brought to you by Mill Street Organic Lager and Bud Light Lemonade Rattler.
Very nice. Yeah. I really like it. It's perfect for minus 40 degrees.
Classy weather. Beers. Bud Light and
Mill Street Organic. Guys, actually, this is the perfect weather for...
Nah, this is nice.
I should have brought some more moonshine. That's what we need on a night.
No, like no.
We're going streaking.
And, or at least some good stout. That's what I could really use. Anyway, over to you.
All right, Sens at Ducks. So this is the California trip of death, apparently. 2-1 win. Nielsen in. I don't even think we talked about the trade, but that's fine. So Nielsen in.
It's in the notes.
Okay. Sens goals by Ryan and White. Duck goal, Silverberg. Shots... 33-30 Ducks. Penalty kill was perfect, 3-for-3. Next game, Sens at Kings. 4-1 win, not overly surprising.
Not especially, but still it was a good win.
Yeah.
Like it was a well-played game.
Yeah, it really was. So Nielsen in again. Sens goals, Ryan, 2 by Tierney and Willannon. Kings goal by Kyle Clifford. Shots, 34-27 Kings. Penalty kill, perfect, 2-for-2.
Just backing up that game against the Ducks, I believe we were on a 9-game losing streak, and the Ducks were on a
nine-game losing streak,
too.
8-8 or something like that. Yeah. So.
The winner was going to win the loser award. So.
We broke the streak!
Yeah.
Yeah, next game. Sens at Sharks, 4-1 loss. So, Nielsen in.
Nobody got that?
Where did we go again? So, yeah, Nielsen again. Sens goals by Dzingel. Sharks goals Pavelski, Burns, Thornton, Miller, and Milker Carlson. Shots 32-28 Sharks. Penalty kill a perfect 1-for-1. So even though they lost this game, I thought they played really well in it.
This was a very competitive game that the score doesn't really reflect very well.
Yeah.
The shots again were close, but the team was playing a competitive game against a very good opponent.
That's right.
Yeah.
Next game, Avalanche. So this was also here. Avalanche, I think, lost 9 in a row and then beat Toronto.
Yes. Yeah, they were struggling.
So Avalanche 2. Oh, I missed the at symbol. So Avalanche at
Sens. You've missed the shit.
2, yeah. 5-2 win. Dads were around on this for this game.
Yes, they were. That's
fun. Nielsen in again. Sens goals, Tkachuk, finally. Stone, Dzingel, and Duchesne. Avs goals by Zadorov and McKinnon. Shots 32-31 Colorado. Penalty kill was 2-for-3 in this one.
Still.
Next game.
Better so, shots again. Better. Not great, but better.
Yeah.
Baby steps.
Yeah, this was a really fun game. We didn't go to this one, but
I was watching this one, I think, because I was.
Like, it was an entertaining game. Like, yeah. This was a good game. Anyways. Next, Sens at Carolina. We haven't won there in like 17 years.
In regulation, haven't won.
In regulation.
In 17 games.
No, it wasn't 17.
17. Yeah, it was 0-16. Apparently on the radio. 16-2?
Yeah.
0-16-2. And I think
the last game they said on the radio, it's like Dean McCammon set up Danny Heatley for the winner.
Yeah, it was 2008.
Like, wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Nielsen in again, because why not? Sends goals, pay Arvey. Ryan, Stone, and Willannon. Kane's goals by Fovigeli. Or Fogel. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Some guy.
Shots 34-26 Hurricanes. Penalty kill, perfect 2-for-2. This was another really good game.
Very entertaining game.
Yeah.
Very entertaining.
So you see some of these young guys come in and play. So, of course, now, well, you know, you're still on the dad's trip, so Nick Paul has to play the next one because he was a healthy scratch, and you got to play him at some point because dad's around.
And Ben Harper was also in because Boro was out, and they went 12-6.
Yeah. Grant Boro also got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what I mean, Boro was out, yeah. I
think another defenseman sat, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, somebody would have had you because they were playing 7.
Lajoie.
That's right.
Sens at Blues, a 3-2 loss, so Anderson in. Sends goals by Nick Paul. Big surprise. And Pay-Arvey again. So he's on a hot streak.
Good for him.
Blues goals Tarasenko, Dunn, and Gunnarsson. And that game winner was potentially a blown frozen call on the winning goal by the referee.
Well, somebody, I believe it was Feisty, actually came up with a video clip showing exactly the same thing with...
Pajot.
No, was it Pajot who was the skater? Because it was with against Montreal.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was
the game that we lost 1-1.
Whistled down because I had the intent to blow the whistle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carey Price gets that, but Craig Anderson doesn't.
Now, he did cover on the stick. One, doesn't matter.
Stuff happens.
Compared to the football games, does it matter?
Yep.
right. The bottom line is referees are human.
That's right.
Make mistakes.
And that's until you fix them with robots.
We're going to have bots?
Robots.
Okay.
Robot refs.
I see.
It's like when everyone that says it, like, I want the human element, I'm like, again, not on the refereeing. I want fair and accurate decisions. You can't do that, so that's why you have a replay.
Yeah,
you can't.
Like, well, just before we get in, I wouldn't mind talking about that. But the one goal I wanted to go back on for just a second was in the Avalanche game, which was Matt Duchesne's empty net goal, which was a backhand no look shot. He did basically a spinorama with his back to the net, just coming around, backhands it in the net. I watched it a couple of times. I don't think he ever actually looked at the net.
No, but you know where you can still figure it
out. He figured out where he was and just took the shot.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
He's a very talented player.
Very talented player, who I hope stays. But we'll get into that in a minute or two. As for refereeing and robots, mistakes are going to be made, and they're frustrating, but there's nothing you can do about it. So
until you create the robots.
Until you create the robots, but then you will always have is the robot looking at the right place? Did the robot miss something because it was looking at something else? There will always be a way for mistake.
Did you hear about the self-driving car that killed a robot in California?
Oh, even better.
Fucking hilarious. That's not a person. Boom.
Robot on robot violence.
Anyway. So yeah, it's like, it is what it is. This game didn't friggin' matter. I didn't care. I didn't. People just...
Well, we usually do fairly well against St. Louis. That's why I was bummed about it, because the last few years, I think we have a fairly decent record against them. That's why I was bummed. And Craig Anderson coming back as the last game before...
Yeah, you
want him to get... I guess he'll play tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. He'll play tomorrow.
And tomorrow will be the last game before the All-Star game, followed by the team's mandated... or CBA mandated break. So we may not be back for a while because there's not going to be... Well, I was going to say, there may not be many hockey games to talk about. There may be other stuff for us to talk about. So we can't determine exactly.
Are you basically saying that the game in St. Louis had overarching issues?
See yourself out.
can you turn off your own mic?
I could turn off yours.
That's not bad. I'll give you credit. That's not bad.
Too tired for that.
Yeah.
So in the summary of the six games, outshot 203-172. So
that's not bad.
Shot differential of -31. It's like, hey, that's pretty good.
-31 in six games. That's only being outshot by 5 per game. That's not bad.
And it felt a lot better.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. Not bad. Penalty kill was 11-for-12.
That's very good.
91.7%. Which puts us up to 26th in the league.
Well, you got to celebrate the small victories.
Oh, dig up, stupid.
You got to dig up.
Wow.
Could be worse.
15th in the league, power play at 20.6%. Just want to mention that. Power play's been pretty good. And so, overall, there isn't that much difference.
I have a confession.
Uh-oh.
I didn't see any of those games.
I saw several.
You're in Florida.
No, this is after that.
That was after that?
Oh, yeah, this is just this month.
I hate January so much. That's right. You were gone over.
I saw several of them because I was cat sitting for Russell and living.
How many cats does Russell have?
I'm not at liberty to say.
But if you were to ballpark it.
Several.
Enough to throw it in the neighbors if they should go on your lawn, that kind of stuff?
You could catapult a couple. Catapult. There you go. See, you got that one. Thank
building
you.
Building that, the
cat. A trebuchet or a catapult, whichever you prefer.
Perfect.
Several. Let's just go with several. And now, I mean, I volunteered for this because Russell was going to be away, and I took care of them. And
that explains why your face is all scratched up.
No, they all like me, strangely enough.
I could see that.
Unlike most people.
If he dies, we'll eat him.
That's right. No, I fed them well. They were all fat, so that's all good. But I was watching them out there. I have to say, I believe I've mentioned before that I do not have a video subscription service. I don't have cable TV or IPTV over DSL or anything like that. I don't, because I'm so rarely home. I just don't see the point of paying for a video delivery service. And I have to admit, having one for a week, my biggest thought over the entire week was, I have 500 channels to watch, and there is absolutely nothing that interests me other than hockey games or a football game if there's a football game on a weeknight. There is nothing good on a regular basis that I could find.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed. Like, wow, I'm not wasting my money by not having this whatsoever.
Yep.
Anyway, getting back to the Ottawa Senators and not my television viewing habits.
Or cats.
There's an awful lot of talk these days on the radio, on Twitter, on wherever you want to be listening to, about the fact that, the trade deadline approacheth. And what's going to happen with Stone, Duchesne, Dzingel, possibly Cody Ceci. Nobody's talking about Magnus Pajärvi, but whatever, because he's a UFA as well. So I thought we did this earlier in the winter, or earlier in the season, I should say. Your thoughts on what's going on and what's not happening? Oh, trade center. Well, so you think trades are happening. Okay, well, because it's going
to... No, it's just every time you say trade.
Uh-oh. I didn't say that word. That was my answer.
A
preemptive strike. Okay.
What do I think's going to happen?
What do you... Well,
what do I want to happen?
What would you like... Well, we'll start with what you would like to happen.
I would like to see all the UFAs extended.
All of them? All three?
Yes.
Okay.
What do I think is going to happen?
Yes.
I don't believe any of them are going to extend.
Really?
I believe they'll probably all be traded away.
Oh, he's all negative all the time, right?
Sarcasm of that nature coming from you is a bit hypocritical, don't you think?
Not negative, I'm just real. So, also, I would like to retain all three. I don't see why it can't be done in reality,
it can be done.
We'll dive into that a little bit further. Mm-hmm. Mark Stone has to stay. I can give or take Duchesne, to be honest with you.
I was going to say, if you had to rank them.
Stone has to stay. He has to.
And I think if he does stay, he will be overpaid.
I'm not saying he's not deserving of it.
I'm just saying I think we will overpay to keep him.
It could be like the Redden Chera thing, right? Like with Redden was, I will take less if Chera stays too, but if Chera goes, I want more.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see that. I see where you're saying, I should say.
Yeah. So, but even at that, it's like... And I ended up tweeting about this too, but even if you look at Carlson and Spets and even Alfie, all three of these guys were polarizing players in some way, shape, or form.
Yes, they all had their pros and, but they all had their detractors as well.
That's right. Mark Stone doesn't have that.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't. And that's something that was pointed out a while ago that I was like, oh, that's very true. There is nobody who doesn't like Mark Stone.
Yeah.
There are people who...
He says, his skating wasn't great 3 years ago. I was like, right.
It's certainly adequate now.
Yep. Yeah. I have my concerns about his health. I don't care. Well, and even this was stuff coming out about Duchesne and all this yesterday. It's like, it's going to be terrible in 7-8 years. I'm like, you know what? Worry about 2027 problems in 2027. Everybody else does.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Or friggin' back dive it.
The one thing I've been a little disappointed in, A, the lack of conversation about Ryan Dezingle, but B, also some of the things I've been hearing. And one of the things that I heard, and I heard it several times, and when I say hear, it's whether I'm reading or hearing, it doesn't really matter, where there were several different sources of the thought or opinion that we don't need him. We've got lots of left-wingers in the system because we have Brady Tkachuk and Formanton will be here next year. And I said, and my thought was, hang on a second.
Hold on.
Exactly right. That's a great local reference. Well done by you. I picked up what you're laying down there.
And my reaction was the right one.
Yes, it was. My thought on that is, okay, Formanton didn't make the team this year. He was sent back to junior. Now, he couldn't go to the AHL, but he was sent back to junior. There's no guarantee he's going to make it next year. And even if he does, there's no guarantee. In fact, I would say...
No, there's probably a guarantee that he'll make the team.
There's a guarantee that
there's a guarantee he's going to make the team?
Well, he would have
to. If he's going to be deserving of it is a different story.
True. Right.
But more... He will not play to the caliber of what Ryan Dezingle is doing now. And he will not do it for several years for exactly the same reason as Ryan Dezingle didn't do it for the first few years he was here. He grew into the role and he did, and he's very good at what he does.
Yep.
So to say that, oh, we don't need him. Yeah. One second.
Read now.
I'm kidding. Talking for Oh, let me move the mic over to the fridge.
Okay, this is worse than you actually stopping to get the beer.
I'm sorry to hear that. But if it took Ryan Dezingle this long to grow into the role, it's going to take somebody... put in the paint shaker. It's going to take somebody else years to grow into it too, which is a great reason to sign Ryan Dezingle, not to not sign him. And...
Yeah,
because
what's wrong with having Alex Formanton as a third line left wing?
Exactly, or a fourth line left winger just to get
used
to
fourth line. I'd rather have him in the AHL.
Well,
fourth line, you only play about 5 minutes or so.
True, I would rather see him down there too, but he may fluctuate between three and four the way because we've seen a lot of bouncing.
Or three and two, to be honest.
Yep, especially if there's injuries around. But I don't think putting all the eggs into the basket of, well, we have this one guy who stayed with the team for a few games this year and for a few games last year, and we're going to put him in and he'll be fine. I don't
traditionally see that. That's what the Ottawa Senators have done.
I don't see it as making
sense. And
it's sense.
Not necessarily the right thing to do.
Exactly.
Because you're giving yourself, like what they've been doing, is zero margin of error.
Pan, I wasn't clear on your answer to, maybe I just missed it, Carlos' question.
I would rather have all three.
What you want is all three? What do you think?
What I want is all three.
You think one?
The veil is way too pulled back for me. Mark Stone is a must.
No, I agree, but...
I don't think DeShane's going to be here. Because also, when he came... What did he say when he came to Ottawa?
I want to...
At this point in my career, I should be going deep into the playoffs. I didn't want to be part of a rebuild. And in this group, I believe that we can continue to go deep in the playoffs.
Which they did.
No refunds.
Oh, no, I guess that was the year before.
No, not with him.
Yeah, right.
So, why would that change for him?
Because he's living a hell of a lot closer to home than he used to be, and he sees the potential in this team. I'm not saying that's true.
But if he did.
Yeah, that's the most optimistic thing.
Yeah.
But with that, who's a coach next year?
Well, this is something the three of us were talking about, texting about in one of our many conversations.
So it's very, very difficult for you to commit the rest of your career in a giant question mark.
So, closed loop, what was your answer to that?
Mine is I would like to see all three of them as well.
Okay.
I think that it will be one of Stone or Duchesne. I would like to see Stone. I think Stone is the more important one as far as the figurehead face of the franchise, valuable player.
Leader
and
attitude,
harder to replace. As great as...
Well, you changed your tune from the last time we recorded.
I don't know about that.
Last time you asked the question, who would you rather keep, Stone or Duchesne? And I'm like...
Oh, you know what? I'm probably flipping Duchesne. On that.
I said I would like to keep Duchesne.
Oh, well, of course, yes.
But I think that to the franchise, I think Mark Stone is more valuable. I think Matt Duchesne is a better hockey player overall.
That I agree with.
I think Mark Stone is more valuable to the team.
Strictly based on position, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Because without him and Logan Brown's hurt again, it's we don't have to.
We're maybe, down the middle.
Maybe Colin White might be a first line center. I think he's. I'm surprised that he's actually a second line center. He's looked so frigging great this year.
He's been, as we've mentioned before, he is the surprise. Like absolutely. The biggest, most, and as great as Thomas Chabot has looked, Colin White is just far more the eye-opening. Oh my goodness, where did this guy come from?
Yeah,
for sure.
So the reason I don't think Stone and Duchesne will re-sign, and I hope I'm wrong, as I expressed. The reason I don't, and because, you know, Carlson, for example, would be like a player of this caliber, and
you can't see that on the recording.
Duchesne,
his arm is fully extended directly.
It was
over
this,
head.
Yeah, it was this. Can't you see this?
So Carlson's the high elite player.
Stone and Duchesne, I think, are stars, and I would say that stars these days are are expecting a contract, especially one at this juncture where they're basically on the verge of signing a 7 or 8 year contract and they're a star. They're expecting a contract to be some sort of protection from the upcoming potential lockout and probably bonus laden. So all of those require it's more than just the here's your salary per year and the length of it. Like we always, when we think of contracts, it's because that's what we're used to, right? We think of how much and how much per year. I think these guys are thinking not so much about those dollar amounts, but like how much of my salary compared to my bonus. Because, you know, if you pay me a large bonus and a small salary, like you see, for example, with the recent contracts, like Matthew Tavares, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
But you're seeing that around the league. And I think that's what stars are probably expecting, that maybe they don't need that per se, but I think that's going to be a conversation. And I don't get the impression that this organization under the checkbook of Eugene Melnyk is willing to do that, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah. Cause, and well, a big part of that,
I think that was the reason with Carlson,
who is
right?
The owner going to be? Carlson was all personal.
For sure. There's
it was,
there.
It was freaking personal. But anyways, you're right in regards to what you're commenting there. The other thing is that you're not signing a contract in reality. You're not signing a contract with the Ottawa Senators. You're signing an NHL contract.
Yes.
And just the, not ramifications, but the restrictions that Eugene Melnyk has put on the contracts of no signing bonuses. It looks like he's soured against no trade clauses. He commented on the signing bonuses.
When?
At that, the outdoor interview that he was got in trouble for.
Okay.
He's like, we got to get the signing bonuses under control. He was all talking about the CBA in reality. But it's like, he doesn't like the signing bonuses because I think he feels like he got burned on Danny Heatley.
Yes, he does feel that.
Right. So there's that. No trade clauses, I think, are going away. There used to be a way to save money. And I don't think it's, well, there's none left outside of Bobby Ryan, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Of the high level ones, and he also doesn't feel that any NHL players should make 8 digits, because in the not the round tables in the town halls, he was scoffing at the fact that players shouldn't make 10 million plus.
Right.
So these are three big ramifications, three limitations that you have as a general manager.
It will influence what you can bring.
That's right. So and it impacts in regards to who you have on the ice. But,
Mm-hmm.
Because with that, it's if as an as a team you're not willing to give in to those, you're going to get left behind in the dust.
I can give an example of something similar. I mean, I work in high tech, and the company I used to work for, fantastic company, fantastic benefits in terms of, you know, in general how they treated employees, products were cool. The job itself was pretty good, but they were paying less than the industry. And, you know, people left. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say what you want about them. Well, they're not loyal to the company and stuff, but
company's not being loyal to you if they're not paying them the going rate for the marketplace.
If you're not playing market value and not giving anybody any sort of performance or merit raise, you've been there years and nobody's salaries are changing and the cost inflation goes up. Like, it's human nature.
You're making less. Yeah. If I'm not getting at least cost of living increase, then I'm making less.
Yeah. So really the only advantage that the Senators have on all these guys is they can offer 8 years. other teams can't.
That's the advantage.
So that's the one advantage.
Yep.
But then also with that, when we're talking about the structure and everything else, and people that say, it's like, well, I don't want to give them 8 years, I'll give them four. It's like, then you're not going to get a deal done.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why would you
sign? So it's not even, that's right. So don't even start that.
And to be honest, if you're Pierre Dorion, are you going to see past that fourth year? Are you going to see past the first? But are you going to see past that fourth year, yeah. really? Or you think maybe, yeah, but maybe. Probably not.
Right? And so with that, too, because when we're looking at in regards to the salary, one, there's a new CBA. Chances are that the signing bonuses are going to get limited.
I would imagine so.
But putting that aside, because I got a whole nother session for this stuff. But it's not only lockout protection, it's buyout protection.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can, one, front load my money, so get as much as I can over the first 2-3 years, it guarantees that I'm going to get that. Two, it protects you in the case of any type of rollback. I don't think that'll happen, but in the case, in the remote cases, there's a rollback in the salary cap, like what they did in
two CBAs ago, yeah.
That, right?
When everybody
so was then, 11 then
or 17%.
It was back, quite significant.
Yeah.
Because some of the players now are making the same as to what they were doing 12 years ago.
And they're.
Because Pavel Bure's making like $8 million a year.
And escrow's in on this too, right? Because they. Percentage of their salary goes to escrow?
A percentage, yeah, but again, escrow.
They get that back.
They haven't been getting 100% of it. And I've got some points in regards. Well, I'll just jump into that now. They haven't been getting their escrow back because the revenues of the league haven't been there.
Well, that's what escrow's all about.
What has Las Vegas... But they're like 98%.
Yeah, they're getting almost all of it back.
Right. So Las Vegas was a huge influence in regards to that. Seattle's going to be a... Because just their revenue stream was massive, okay. Right?
Gotcha.
So this is why they're picking these areas for...
You mean they don't expect
for expansion?
You mean they won't make a ton of money if they move Ottawa to Quebec City?
Well, no, actually, that they won't.
No, I'm joking.
That'll go down quite substantially. And then you have Seattle coming in. Seattle's freaking oozing with money.
Oh yeah,
there's a lot of money in Seattle.
And the fact that it took Vegas 2 weeks to sell out their ticket drive, and it took Seattle 10 minutes. Weird. And you know they're going to bring in a basketball team too.
Oh yeah,
like, Seattle's it's carrying a lot of money. It's Seattle. It's amazing. I love it there. So that's going to happen.
Except for their weather, couldn't deal with it.
Less snow, yeah. More rain.
No, it's just rain.
Think of it.
Vancouver's the same.
An entire winter is 4 months of November.
Yep.
I couldn't deal with
it. It drains your emotions.
Seasonal.
It really messes you up. Oh, yeah.
Depression.
Sorry, TJ. I know we've had this conversation before, but 4 months of rain and 3 degrees C. No.
He also came up from SoCal. No. Right?
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Shoot, where are we going with this? So there's that, and then in the case that you get bought out in year 5, 6, 7,
yeah,
you're going to lose money. So I'd rather again front load it. If I'm making $3 or $4 million a year, you buy me out at half. I still get paid $2 million instead of getting.
Yeah.
Does a buyout, if they try to buy out somebody who's still got it separated between signing bonus and annual salary, are both of them affected or only the annual salary part?
I believe it's only the annual salary.
So they still get their full signing bonus for the rest of those years?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I believe. Because I know that's how, what's his name, Clarkson?
Oh, yeah.
Because his contract was buyout protected because it was all signing bonuses. So the difference there. Well, this Manulife is paying it.
So you're a star player.
He's still getting it. He doesn't care what the source of it is.
Yeah. Well, he's playing with Vegas, right? Right?
You're a star player. You know there's going to be a change to the CB coming up. There could be a lockout.
Yeah. Granted, it's not looking like there will be.
There could, and you know,
yeah. And I don't think there should be, but that's why.
Why would you not want to take advantage? Basically, there's some unknowns that are happening. Why would you not want to take advantage of what it is right now?
That's right. Yeah.
You'd be foolish not to.
Right. Yeah,
that's right. So that said, Mark Stone, Matt Duchene, absolutely 8-year contracts. You need the no trade, which I'm fine with giving them. I think they both of them deserve it. Give them the signing bonuses, because otherwise you're not going to get them for the reasons that we've all mentioned. Ryan Dzingel, 2 to 4 years.
I was going to say 4, possibly 5, but I wouldn't go
pretty much
5.
Like the Mike... Mike I want to see the Mike. Fisher. Not Mike Fisher. Mike Fisher's overpaid. But around that, I'm thinking more maybe the Mike Hoffman contract.
How old was Mike Hoffman when he signed
that? That's the only thing. But they are very similar. Hoffman's got a way better shot.
Zingle's a far more complete hockey player.
So Hoffman is 29 years old right now, and he's got two years left.
And he's,
so he signed this contract. It was 4 years, 2 years ago, so signed at 27. So 4 years, 5.2. I don't think you need to get him that much.
I was thinking for 4 or 5 years at about 4.5.
Yeah.
I think that would be.
So between 4 and 5, I think that'd be great.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody would go longer than that on him because, yes, he's a 30 goal or multiple close to 30 goal scorer, but.
Yeah. Does this fit under the cap?
Yep.
Sure. Yeah, it'd be good. I'd be all for it. The one other player I wanted to talk about was Cody Ceci. There's been an awful lot of talk about him being traded.
And you know why?
There's been a lot of people who've wanted this for a while, but there's actually been some smoke, possibly fire, discovered. And depending on who you talk to, whether it's Nick Kiprios going, or whether it's Darren Dreger.
You know why I think it's going to happen?
Because he's an avocado.
Because he's now the highest paid defenseman.
He's an avocado? What the heck does that mean?
Too young. He's not ready yet. Not ready yet. Overwrite.
Oh. Okay. So true.
Cody Ceci.
So true. I actually would like to see Cody Ceci stay around, but I think because of the salary right now and compared to the rest of the defense, and we don't need to overpay for defense right now, I don't see him sticking around.
I'd like to see him moved for his own good.
It's 4.7 to qualify him.
Yeah, he's expensive, but I'd like to see him moved for his own good.
It's better for everyone involved for him to move on.
Yeah, I think him getting a chance to play somewhere else would be very good for him.
Unless we get a new coach.
In a bottom pair, no. There's been three coaches now that have run him the same way.
I don't even think a new coach would
be a bottom pairing. Just he needs a mental reset.
Yeah. Let him play somewhere else where there hasn't been the you were a 67, you were a this, you were a that, you were the blah, 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 and everyone's expected you to do everything. Yeah. And he's been put in roles that don't really work for him.
Correct. So none of this is really his fault.
Let him go and play.
So I hear Edmonton makes good trades.
Holy crap.
Yeah, what was the one you sent today?
So they put Ryan Spooner on
Waivers. So basically,
So it was Jordan. Let me find it here. Because it's Jordan Eberle.
Two first round picks. For
Ryan Strome.
So, is that Jordan? Yes. So Eberle for Strome for Spooner, Spooner waivers.
Wow.
Within 2 years.
That's a quick fall. Whew.
Ouch. So Eberle and two first for
how
nothing.
How does Chiarelli still have his job?
He also just extended the backup goalie at $4.5 million AAV.
Again, how does he still have his job?
No. How do you let this stuff happen?
Wow. How does? No, I'm not Kevin Lowe. The owner of the
Daryl Cates.
Thank you. How does he let that happen?
Wow. He's involved in this whole stuff, right?
Well, that may be part of the problem. So
maybe that's why Boston.
These pharmaceutical guys in hockey should not be.
Well, that's where I was going. No, I really would like to see Cody Ceci moved for his own good.
Fair enough. That's
I can't think of a better reason. Like yeah. let him play somewhere else. Qualifying him, I'm not really keen on qualifying him with that much money anyway. Mm. Which means he would end up going somewhere else.
Yeah.
But if a trade can be engineered,
you get a couple conditional picks in there too.
Yeah. Right? Get
if you extend them, then I want more. If you don't.
Get something back and you know,
well, for the reset. Whatever
should actually be able to get a first.
We've had some. I have to admit, I've been maybe very Pittsburgh's. Impressed. We've been having some very good. I've been impressed with the way that some of the younger/inexperienced, because not necessarily always younger, defensemen have come up from Belleville both at the beginning of the season and through the season, and done above my expectations. Are they great? Not yet. Are they showing signs that they could be? Yes, they are. So continue with them, letting them, you know, grow into the role in the NHL. But I don't think we need to keep him.
Yeah. And with that, too, it's like when you're saying or hearing places of just, well, he's a veteran presence. I'm like, is he really the guy that you want to be teaching other guys how to play? Yes, he doesn't quite do it right himself.
Well, I think the veteran presence is simply the steadying influence, and you have Boro for that. So
yeah, so you would want someone that can actually do it also. And I end up tweeting about this too. Shabbat's going to be a third-year player. DeMelo's going to be a fifth-year player. Olanen and...
DeMelo, that's true. Yeah, that's the one I hadn't thought of.
Effing right.
Boom. Is that some reference to the...
To the
Uber thing.
Okay.
And then Olanen and Harper will be 24. And then, you're right, you have Borowiecki.
Yeah.
Yarosh has played very well. He's going to be 23. The only thing is that he's a right-hand shot. But I think we'll probably see over the next couple of games, Yarosh are playing with Shabbat, DeMelo with Lajua.
I can see that. They can,
because you need to see what things are going to look like. DeMelo, I think, is going to be a better partner for Lajua anyways.
I have to say.
Because Lajua's getting CC'd.
Yeah, he's getting over-expectationed and overworked. He started off really well, but I think there's too much workload.
The fan base, too, is just like, we'll back up on this guy. Like, let's calm down.
Let him grow into it. Don't make him, okay, well, he's played okay, so we're going to put him here. No, I agree. I agree. But DeMelo is... I
never agreed this much.
DeMelo has been a very pleasant surprise because I was like, I don't know much about this guy. But then someone again is Tierney. It's like, I don't know about this guy either. Okay, hey, look at this guy.
Yeah, Tierney seems... He's a good elevator boy.
But wherever you put him, he works out.
Right.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
And even that, if you sign Deshane, flip him. Yeah. Deshane, White, Pajot, and...
Smith or whoever.
Smith, Paul... I like Paul. You can get him for cheap. Put him on a 1 year. I would have kept McCormick if you can friggin' believe that, but that's fine.
Well, you still could if you want.
You can, yeah. I don't know why they sent him down. I like him as the 13th, which is pathetic.
Wow.
Yeah, I
never think I'd say that.
I'm flabbergasted. You just did.
He used to complain about him all the time, taking the dumb penalties.
But he was taking dumb penalties.
Yeah.
You had your finger.
Are you done on defense? Because I just thought of something.
Well, we're all random all over the place.
No problem. I don't know if this happened here. I was in Toronto last week. I'm going to be in Toronto again this week. And
my condolences.
While we were walking around Toronto, I saw my that's a good one. I saw my colleague's phone. You know, the alert come up from TSN, and I don't know if you guys had this here, but it said trade bait. Matt Duchene listed as number one on the trade bait in TSN.
I don't have the Trade Center app at the moment. Yeah, so
it was Trade Center, I think.
Okay,
I don't think it was Sportsnet. I think it was Trade Center. So I don't know if we're getting that news here, but certainly
it came out.
Yeah,
it came out that they actually had. Drager on one day, and then on another day, I think it was Craig Button. They said both said he is the most attractive potential trade bait. Am I saying he's going to be traded? I'm not saying that at all, because Ottawa is working to try and sign him. But if they can't, then he is a very, very attractive piece for other teams to covet.
No, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, absolutely it does.
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
That's okay.
Don't matter.
Nothing new there.
Moving on.
Quick little points. Last we were together, we recorded just... Did we record after we did the second AMA? Yes, we did. Or just before?
No.
Just before.
That was the sandwich episode.
Well, the two of us recorded after the
second AMA. That's right. That's what it was. During the second AMA, it was mentioned that the Senators would be getting a puppy. And they do. They did. The Senators now have a black lab. Who's been named Rookie, which I think is a very cool name.
It's a good name. There's others that I saw online. Murray?
Puppy McPuffface.
Oh, that would have been cute.
Puppy McPuffer.
Yeah, no, fail. Abject.
And the other one was Puck because he's black. So those are just like, oh, that's nice. Like Rookie, it's like, okay.
Rookie is good.
It
Murray
works.
Would have been good too. But I think between those two, I think it's a very cute name. And it's really, I find it really funny to watch whenever they show video clips of him being in the dressing room and grown men acting like 6-year-old boys with a new toy with playing with the puppy. Cause I mean, I do too. I admit it freely. Whenever I'm around, animals, they always make me laugh and act like a 7-year-old because, well,
it's therapeutic.
That's what they do.
No.
Well, that's why even with Janice, cause she was just like, do you want to come and see the dogs? I'm like, nope.
I don't like them.
Because I'm going to get one and bring it home.
Oh, okay.
See, I do
okay.
not want to see the puppies. Nope.
I would cannot. I would go and play with them in a second. Because I'm so used to it. I don't have an animal at home, and I don't have the time for one.
Well, I don't have the time for one, so that's going to be the even worse problem.
Yeah, well, I have a better I have better impulse control.
Yes, no, I do not. I definitely do not.
That's really what it is.
God.
Something I noticed the other day, all this the team playing a lot better recently, especially in the California trip, and since then?
Very well.
Yeah, what's the common element?
Christian Willanen.
And?
Dad's being back?
Nope. Well, okay, possibly.
JGP being back?
Yep.
Bingo.
I was going to hit the button. Ow! I
don't think so. Don't cut.
Gummy. In the
That's bad. Jean-Gabriel Pageau is the common element to this really big improvement on the defensive play, lower shots against, team playing better. Damn, it's good to see him back.
Granted, the penalty kill was doing quite well, but yeah, it's...
It's good to see him back.
He's a useful, he's a useful player.
I doubted him making the... When we first started this, I was like, I really enjoyed watching him playing, but I thought he was going to be too small, and I've said time and time again, I was happy to be wrong on that.
He found his way.
Yeah. He's found a way to play. I don't think he's going to be playing in the NHL when he's 35 years old, but in the meantime, damn, it's fun to watch. And he's a fun guy to watch as an interview.
Granted, he's coming back from a severe injury, so better trade him.
Absolutely. Is there anything else in particular you want to talk about? I had one other bullet point. Some of the other stuff we don't really
that talk McKenna about. Nielsen trade. How did that ever work out? Eh?
Did it ever work out?
So
except for Vancouver.
And I had to talk to someone. It's like finally we got Jim Benning back. Because I had to talk to the writers. It's like, did Vancouver know that McKenna was going to get claimed? It's like, no,
probably not.
They needed him. So, because essentially now, and especially seeing how Nielsen's been playing, it's like you've traded away a good, I'm not going to say great, but or solid, but a good backup goalie for Tom Pyatt.
Yes. Because Mike McKenna was claimed by the Flyers.
Yep.
On waivers, being their seventh goalie to play in an NHL game.
Traded away the franchise.
The franchise.
Tom Pyatt.
His first game was a loss, by the way, and there was a goal on the first shot on goal. But
it's Mike McKenna.
The interesting little piece of trivia about that was the interim coach of the Flyers, Scott Gordon, was one of seven goalies used by the 89-90 Nordiques.
All right.
That's just so random. I had to write that one down.
What else do you have here?
Do you want to do a couple emails? Or do you want to talk about the rest of the league? We can rip through some rest of the league stuff if you want. Erik Karlsson had a 2-game suspension.
Doesn't matter anymore. They shut him down for the week.
I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, well, at first I saw the hit. I'm like, well, that's nothing. And then I watched the full video, and he dummied that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, it was bad. I'm like, oh, okay. Yep, now I get it.
Yep. It was deserved.
It was.
There were some people who were like, no, it's not. It's Erik. He would never do that. I'm like, watch the video.
Yeah, well, so he didn't intend to do it. He just didn't know how to hit because he rarely ever does it.
Well, I was going to say, it's not unless intention. It's
David DeHarnay and his sternum, whoever that was. That was amazing. It's a headshot. He's out with a broken sternum. It's like, his sternum's in his head.
That was better than being in his stern.
It was a charge then.
Yeah, sure. Go with that. Idiots. Ovi announced that he would not be going to the All-Star game, and so did Carey Price.
And they got suspended.
And they both get a 1-game suspension, which I believe has to be the first game back.
Either the game before or the one...
Can they do it the game before? Because yeah. I was thinking, well, if they do it the game before, the guy could just turn around and go, actually, I'm going to go. And then what do they do? So I was thinking...
The Habs have a back-to-back.
Oh, yeah?
Price wasn't going to play it anyway.
I wasn't going to play the second of the back-to-back.
So this is going to be another thing in the CBA that they should. It's like, you're going. Like, what an embarrassment this is.
Well, if you're the, I mean, I actually
like, feel. It's the sponsors. And I love how Ovi keeps just dumping on the All-Star game. Because he's been doing it for years.
Well, he has to do it every single year.
Well, because remember, it was a year that it was here. And he got suspended, so I was like, well, I feel that since I'm suspended, I shouldn't be going to the All-Star game.
Right.
I'm being punished.
Well, he had a strong point on that one. You want me to go? You bring out the little circus to entertain the sponsors, but we're not letting you play for real, and we're finding you money.
To me, I would have loved to see him there. He's one of the best at the All-Star Games.
Yeah, but
and I understand, like, you've played a lot of hockey. You still think you can probably win this year? And it's all the way out in California.
And after how many years of going and playing in it, does it become, okay, God, can I just get one off? I don't feel like doing this anymore.
Yeah.
I don't feel like especially being your dog and pony show.
So,
I think I don't have a problem with him saying it all go.
Folks in Toronto are losing their minds that Mitch Marner can't go.
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, how many Leafs should go? All of them. All of them should go.
Oh, yeah, the talk radio there is like, well, I don't like this where every team has to send a player. This should be just, you know.
Just leaves. Leaves.
Okay, so for how many years you got your token player when you didn't deserve it?
To be honest, Marner does deserve to.
I'm not saying he doesn't.
And I think another problem is that the rosters are so small.
Because it's 3-on-3.
Yeah. They're not as big as they used to be when you'd be able
to
have two
less stars to go. You need more guys. You can still keep it 3-on-3 if you want.
Give them an extra line.
But, yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
There you go. Give them an extra line. Yeah, sure.
There you go. So each team gets an extra line.
And then players might be willing to go.
Yeah, they don't have to wear themselves out.
You get people who want to go rather than people who are
Because they're playing 20-minute games? So it's like on the defense, it's only one.
Yeah.
Now, the funny thing is if Thomas Chabot wouldn't be able to go and you still need representation from Ottawa, which means you'd have to send a defenseman, Cody Ceci.
Dylan DeMello.
Probably goes DeMello.
Yarrows. Somebody.
Borowiecki.
I didn't catch. You put something in our game notes that I don't have any idea what you were talking about, which was the Dallas CEO going absolutely bat bleep on Ben and Sega. What was that about?
So he was, I think it was an article with The Athletic, I believe, too, because The Athletic can post whatever they want. And you just said, like, their games are horseshit.
Ooh.
And write that. Say that I wrote that.
Write that I said that.
Write that I said that. So.
He figured no one's going to pay paywall to see it.
Yeah, it's paywall.
So this was the CEO.
Yeah, so not the owner, the one underneath it. Because only an idiot owner would be their CEO.
How did that go for him?
Yeah, not really great. And I know it's like, well, Dallas is in a really tough division.
Yeah.
So it's like, is it really them, or is it just that the division's impossible? Because you got Nashville and Winnipeg, and can't remember who else is in there.
No, you'd think a hockey
but it's friggin' tough, man. Like, I know you don't want to use that excuse all the time, but
yeah. It does happen. Now, Dallas was announced to be the outdoor game for January 1st next year.
That's right. So 2020.
So they don't know who the
that is next year now.
Yeah.
And their opponent
is TBD.
TBD.
It's going to be Seattle.
Want to get to
they're going to bring him in a year early.
Want to get to some emails now?
No, hold on.
Okay.
You know who it's going to be? Houston. They're holding it for Houston. Arizona. There's a rumor that Arizona's been sold, and I haven't really followed through with it. But Arizona's on its last legs. The owner of the Houston Rockets basketball wanted the team. And then he just got told, hold on, Seattle, you expand. So now I think Arizona's on its last legs, which is another reason why Arizona's moved over to that central division.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't get your act together, 2020, we're moving you over. 2019-2020.
Well, is the arena where the Houston Rockets play compatible with hockey? I honestly don't know.
They have a large arena.
It was fun in Brooklyn.
AHL. But yeah. Really.
What's that?
They have a large arena for the AHL.
So again, it's the same owner, so he'll retrofit as needed.
That's true. But the Arrows, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. Or Houston Arrows or Houston Rockets? The AHL team?
I don't know. I
think it's Arrows.
Which will probably be the team of the NHL name. And the other thing, too, is they want the CBA dealt with because Houston is a sports city and they know that the NHL will do well there. And then you got the Dallas-Houston
rivalry.
Rivalry.
Sure.
So when we're going back to escrow and everything else, if Arizona moves to Houston, that will improve total revenues.
For sure.
Because Arizona's just...
Drive the salary cap up too.
Yep. Well, that's fine. You can put in limiters and whatnot in that, but...
That's an interesting thought. At the same time, they also announced that there was going to be an outdoor game, and I can never remember where... This sounds so... I'm such a terrible Canadian. I can't remember where the Riders are playing these days. Is Mosaic a field in Regina?
Yeah, Saskatchewan.
Yeah, but is it Regina or Saskatoon?
Regina.
Okay, that's where there's going to be a game of Winnipeg versus Calgary in Regina at the end of October next year.
That's fun. Good for them.
I think it's a wicked idea.
Yeah.
Now, halfway between Calgary and Winnipeg, in the middle of the prairies, let's put on a hockey game at a football stadium in late October because Lord knows it's going to be cold enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic idea. And apparently it's a really nice new stadium.
And the funny thing is that the Vegas marketing during the playoff run told Saskatchewan, hey, we're your local team.
Well.
And so like, yeah, we'll go down to Vegas. And they were doing like direct flights from Saskatoon and Regina.
Yeah, you could do
that. It's like, you guys are geniuses.
Yeah, that's quite smart, actually. As long as they don't get.
So like, yeah. When we're talking about the The Sens hometown tour where they cut it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know where Vegas went? 3 different states.
Good for them.
It's like to states that didn't have hockey. So like Utah, which is right next door, and a couple other ones. Wyoming, I think, was one.
New Mexico.
Wow.
Did it go that far?
I think New Mexico might have been one.
Or just up to Idaho.
I think it was Idaho, Utah, and New Mexico, okay. Or some of that. I don't really know.
Good for them.
But it's like, that's this clever. Is because they're just spreading the net as much as they can.
Sure.
Good for them. That's quite clever.
And we can't go to Cornwall.
Hey, I was one of the ones who brought up that question. It's like, why are they not going anywhere? It doesn't make any sense. Especially if you want to appear to
the Quebec side. It's almost like you're embarrassed.
Well, you want to appeal to the Quebec side. Why aren't you even doing Gatineau?
Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't make no sense, at least to me. Let's do some email. Sure,
why not? I got one up here.
Okay, you read, because I haven't gotten up yet.
I got one from Chris. This team. I was seriously going to stop cheering for this team over the past summer. Then Eric got traded. I almost became a Sharks fan, but I couldn't do it. Now I live 8 hours from our nation's capital, therefore cannot make it to as many games live. So I've always purchased NHL package on TV... Due to the games being blacked out in our area, that alone is a grind to my gear. As for this season, I have zero ambition to pay for the NHL package, no desire to drive to a live game, and really don't feel like watching much hockey at all. I do not believe the Senators have hit rock bottom either. I'm not feeling that Matt Duchene nor Mark Stone are going to get signed. I see them being traded for picks and prospects. However, not all is lost. I still tune into the Sens call-ups every time a new podcast has been posted. Though I don't really want to support this team, I still support you guys. I just can't believe that my ambition for hockey altogether has been drained to this point. Here's hoping for a brighter future. Cheers, boys, from Huron County. Go London Knights, go. Chris.
Well, two things. One, thank you for continuing to listen to us. No, not the London Knights. Go Ottawa 67s. But that's just me. No.
It's a fun year.
Yeah, the two teams are both doing it. That's the rest of our listeners. Those are both teams in their junior teams in the Ontario Hockey League. And they're both, I believe, leading their respective divisions. Or their respective conferences, East versus West.
And the Ottawa 67s team on Friday night had a... I kind of wish I'd gone. Had a really fun night. Did you hear about this, Ben? They had Dunder Mifflin night.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And they all wore jerseys, like, you know, themed from The Office and all kinds of office trivia. And I think for their intermission game, they played Flonkerton. And
they had they had about 5,800 people there, too.
Amazing.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I know Ian ended up wearing his Scott's Tots shirt. I was like, oh. I've seen that episode once, and I cannot watch it again.
Bold.
So awkward.
You want to? What's so the next one? Oh, do you want to read you want to read Stevens?
Sure.
Okay, go for it.
So, Stephen G. Can't say Gower. Dzingel. I honestly think Dzingel will get traded by the deadline. Or at least I think that the organization should trade him. I know a lot of fans are high on him, but I feel like he's an expensive extension. expensive extension will be a mistake. Let another team figure that out. However, I was wrong about Hoffman a few years ago, so I could be wrong here. What's your thoughts for Dezingle? Yeah, so that's pretty much where
rewind about 25 minutes ago.
You know, if, but if Deschene's gone, then I think he stays.
Yeah. I don't think they'll keep all three.
I don't think they'll keep all three, but I don't think that's the right decision either. Which we've already spoken about.
Dezingle all the way.
And the big thing of all of this is what's actually happening with the ownership. Because, again, since we've recorded... What?
What's actually happening with LeBreton?
With LeBreton and the ownership, because Melnick invited back in the DevCore group, so it's...
Yeah.
There's... I wouldn't see them have any motivation to build a $700 million arena
if they
have a tenant, even if he's paying, to just have a tenant because he's going to eat up a lot of Saturday nights. So there has to be some form of equity partnership there.
Something's going on.
Or a sunset or something else. And honestly, even if Eugene stays as the sole owner, which, again, this is a perfect time for him to just take his money and run, but...
Barbado.
Just go, please. But if he's Barbado. Still the sole...
It's a lovely island. Yeah. I'd love to go back.
I'd love for him to go back, too. If he's a sole,
Jody Kidd lives there too.
Right. Because if he's the sole owner of the team or is majority owner or anything else like that, there's no guarantee that he'll spend more now on the roster or run things as a normal NHL team would.
Quite true.
I think something's up.
I think there's a lot of things going
on. And everyone's under gag order, so like no one's even going to bother asking.
Exactly. You want to play it? We got two voicemails left.
Yeah, I got one already. Here's from Taylor.
Hi, guys. My name is Taylor. Long-time listener. First-time caller. I just want to, first off, saying that I think you guys are doing a great job with the Sens call. It's been listening since Season 5. So for this episode, I actually got a What's Grinding My Gears. So... You know what really grinds my gears? When I finally get a fellow Sens podcaster to agree to an exclusive interview for my podcast, and my recording software craps out on me. Now, it later turned out that my GarageBand, unfortunately, was not reading my mic, and I was able to record it off my phone. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I know it just wasn't the same. But, in the end, it all panned out.
Nice.
Anyway, guys, I just want to say thank you so much for all the free funny over the past couple of years. All the best. Go Sens. And I want to give a shout out to my podcast co-host, Tim Jensy, in Calgary, Alberta.
No, we don't do shout outs. Sorry. That's very close to self-glossing. No, just kidding.
Listen, Taylor, I don't know what you're talking about. We never have anything disappear after we record.
No, we never have any software issues. We never have any hardware issues. We've never had an echoing problem. See season one.
That was
the ghost of me,
I know
me,
what to do.
It?
Why don't you get on Skype and Skype into us in the same room?
That was so bad.
Terrible.
Weren't you using a rock star mic? Rock band mic.
Rock
for that.
Band, yeah, that's right. Oh, we were... Yeah, it was early. It was early. We've come so far. We're not any better, but we've come so far. Next one?
You got one on Dezingle.
Yeah? What?
Or no, you read that
I
one.
Read that. No, no, there's one more voicemail.
Okay, you want me to pull that up now?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, guys. It's Liam from Toronto, the home of the never overhyped Toronto Maple Leafs. By the way, it's a positively frigid -1 in Toronto right now. And we got a half a centimeter of snow overnight. Insert army joke here. I thought about asking for your opinion on the Melnick and Ruddy saga, but that just struck me as just way too depressing. So here's something a little bit lighter. If you could assemble an all-time Sens starting lineup, so 3 forwards, 2 D-men, and 1 goalie. Who would it be? Guys, love the podcast. I hope to hear just as much from you in 2019 as we did in late 2018. Cheers.
Yeah, we're off to such a stellar start on that one.
Yo!
Thanks, Lee.
Oh, man.
All-star.
All-star Sens.
I have to admit, I didn't... The voice transcription of this voicemail didn't say that, so I'm not prepared for this particular question. An all-star lineup?
Yeah, I know Brian Five or Six did this a while
ago. All-time all-star lineup for the Senators.
All right, I'll take first crack at it. Goalie, Hasek.
Oh, yeah!
Defenseman? Oh, boy. Carlson? And I'm going to go with... It would be easy to say Mathot, but that's not fair. That's just a pairing. It would be Carlson and Chera.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Forwards. Now, this is really tough. I mean, you could just take it easy and say the pizza line, mm-hmm. Spezza, Alfredson, Heatley, because that worked. That's the first thing that came to mind, although Hosa comes to mind too.
Yes.
And Yashin should be in a thought. So I think, and again, he caveated as when they were at their prime, each one of these players. Mm-hmm. So I think I would just go the pizza line just to make it simple. But, you know, there's so much room.
There's room to grow on that one for sure. My problem is I get confused with players who haven't played for the Senators in a while, who was left and who was right.
I didn't care. Just
okay.
That made that line easy, I guess.
My two wingers would be Hossa and Alfredson, but my center would be Matt Duchene, not Jason Spezza.
I mean, can't go wrong.
Or actually, you mentioned I didn't think Yashin would be really close to supplanting Duchene. Yashin at his peak? Ooh, that's awfully tight. And I can't disagree with your defense. I had actually forgotten about Chera. I'm like, Carlson
and Chera in their prime would be friggin' amazing.
Well, you see, for entertainment factor, for pure entertainment factor, I would actually put Carlson and Volchenkov. Because that's entertainment.
Because you just want to see Hasek make all the crazy saves?
I want to see Hasek make the crazy saves. I want Carlson to make the crazy plays, and I want to see A-Train just steamroll everybody.
I thought of Volchenkov because you want the balance.
I love Volchenkov. I loved Volchenkov.
I like that balance. You know, you have a very offensive-minded forward and a very defensive. That's why Chera came to mind.
Yeah.
And he was still dominant as a defensive guy.
Oh, right? For sure.
So, but yeah, Volchenkov came to...
That's where I would go.
Yeah, pizza line's tough to beat.
Yeah.
It really is.
But... I mean,
I might throw Hossa instead of Heatley.
That's what I did.
Hossa wasn't great here.
No, but he doesn't have to be in his prime here. He doesn't have to be in his prime.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I did not think about Hasek. Yeah. I forgot about Hasek, to be honest.
He wasn't here that long. And when he was here, we all learned what an abductor was.
How about you, Coach Boucher? Who would you pick for your forwards?
Well, I'd go with Piatt and Smith and I don't know.
Like, Nate Thompson.
pretty good hockey club there.
Well, you know. Starting to sound like Jacques
Martin. Demare. That was not Demare. That was Jacques Martin.
Yes, I know. From the shots comes the goals. How can we forget? How can we forget L'Artiste?
He was fantastic in practice.
He was great in the room. Exactly. We only have one game. Actually, do you have anything else you want to talk about? I do have a What Grinds My Gears this week, and it doesn't involve driving, which is unusual for me. I realize that.
I have a Grinds My Gears, too.
Okay, you go, because I got to dig mine out.
Hit your button.
You know what really grinds my gears?
NFL playoff overtime rules.
Oh, okay, good one. Solid. That's good. That's good. Yep.
This is the playoffs, people. Like, just make it fair.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate that guy lined up offside. That's all I have to say. That's really unfortunate.
What a fantastic two championship games yesterday. They both went to overtime, but it's just so stupid that you let one team win the coin toss and the other team doesn't get a shot. Like,
and I have to
on offense. No.
I agree, and I think that the biggest problem with overtime rules that are gimmicky are the problem. You said it perfectly yesterday in our text conversation, Penn. You said the perfect thing, which was the best overtime playoff games are NHL because it's just more of exactly the same thing.
Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, I do like that. The only problem with that is you would be exactly what happened yesterday, which was you're basing who gets the ball first on a coin toss, which you have to do in football. Somebody has to get it first, unlike hockey, which is back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
Somebody has to get it first.
But if you give them enough time,
Well,
or give both people a chance to score. If somebody scores, right. Then somebody else scores, but not the.
Like
if
you go first, so you set the play, and then.
Yeah. Right. So I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. It was entertaining, but it's like, damn, these rules are a little off.
Yeah.
What grinds my gears is actually an ad I heard on television the other day, or on the radio the other day. I've actually heard it several
times. Do you own your home?
Fuck. Hands up.
Does helium have two protons?
Hands up.
Does helium have two protons?
Pow.
Oh, LDD.
I got wrestled with that one.
Oh. Yeah.
No, it was actually an ad.
Hands up when it was worse.
Yeah, that was annoying. But it was very catchy, and you heard about it, but can you tell me who the ad was
for? I have
for?
No idea what you were selling.
Do you know what even company it was for?
No.
Okay, it was Canadian Tire.
That was a Canadian Tire ad?
Yeah. So you remember the ad, you still remember what it was for. That's not bad. No, what really grinds my gears is an ad for a new car dealership in Ottawa. Because they talk about their new executive showroom. I'm sorry, a what? An executive showroom.
That's
now
where you get to meet the executive.
What does that have? Well, what's the comparison between an executive showroom and a regular one?
This one has cappuccino.
It's fancy.
Yeah, it's got its own private bathroom. But it's an executive showroom that displays amplified coupes, sedans, and SUVs. Amplified? So what? You've taken the muffler on them? They're louder? Amplified coupes, sedans, and SUVs. So an executive showroom with amplified cars. Two completely extraneous words. They mean absolutely nothing. They sound great in the ads, but they mean absolutely nothing. Drives me crazy.
There's another radio ad you just made me thought of. I think it's Kanata Ford. And
get the details at Kanata Ford.
The three guys in the radio, the head guy in the radio being JR.
JR.
And I think the owner or the one of the executives at Kanata Ford is like Jim Hodnot.
The same family that owns Campbell Ford. That's Gord.
So the ad's there. The ad starts like, Jim Hodnot. I'm like, what? It's JR here with Jim Hodnot
at Kanata Ford.
Gear here, Jim Hahn of Kanata Ford.
He's been drinking a little. He kind of slurs it all together because he's been saying it so many times. But yeah,
I thought, for sure. What? Cheer here? What?
Cheer here? Who? How much?
Then, oh, it's a car commercial. Okay.
Yeah, got it. You got anything? I know what grinds your gears. January!
I got another 4 emails, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
While we were recording.
Okay. We'll get out of here.
It's been nuts.
We'll get out of here.
No, mine is dealing with a corrupt NHL app. For months, thinking that it was just the app that was failing.
And it's...
Delete, reload, fine.
Oh. So
it
was the
app. It would freeze up my phone. I was like, this thing doesn't work.
So the problem
was
actually...
And I wasn't the only one.
The version of the app was on your phone?
Yeah, or just... One? Or an update corrupted.
Okay. I don't have it on my phone yet, so...
No.
Mm-hmm. But so I have a new phone.
I have no idea what my password is to watch the games anymore. So.
Since we were last year, I got a new phone. Finally.
You love that phone so much. You're very happy.
I'm very pleased with my new phone. I upgraded by 6 operating system upgrades.
I just remember sending you the first group iMessage that had some sort of like animation. I'm like, how would you do that?
How did I? Well, my old phone, I couldn't do that.
Sent with confetti.
I had to learn how to do these things. So I've actually been teaching other people how to do that because other people didn't know how to do it either. So I'm spreading the word. iPhones. Definitely love it.
Yeah, you know what else grinds my gears? You know, dealing with dealing with your bank and they're really slow to respond or get back to you, but that's another issue.
It's the wrong season to be expecting a quick response from your bank.
No, some things are just unacceptable.
I'm just trying to grind everyone's gears here.
Okay. Well, moving on. We got one game coming up. Arizona tomorrow, and then we're on a break.
Monster game. Go Hot Zambacho.
Yes, indeed.
When is that? Next weekend?
Next weekend.
The weekend coming up?
The weekend, yeah. Yes, indeed. That's right. So we have one game tomorrow, and then the team is off for a week, so we may be back if there's...
There's a car! There's a car!
You're off for a week. Start the car.
Oh, okay, right. Well, we may be back if there's news, or we may be back if we're bored. Hey, let's go record over one game in the All-Star break.
We've done that before.
We have.
Our trades frozen during the All-Star break?
Our first half season was during a lockout, for crying out loud. We can manufacture content. Or I can just record when I've been having too much wine with dinner. So, you know, either way.
Release another Big Whiny Tunes album.
No.
I don't want to go through another locker. That's too much. All right. Well, we'll be back. We'll be back whenever we get back, right?
Hard. See you guys in March.
Yeah, right, exactly. On behalf of Panic. Actually, before I do that, on a little bit of housekeeping.
Send us some money at...
Yes. You can send us money, but you can also send us an email if there's something you want to talk about, or we've been said something you completely disagree with, or whatever else. We always like getting email because it's good for show content, as well as letting know that people are actually listening to us. So you can email us at podcast@sendscallups.com. You can find the forums at sendscallups.com. The waiver wire is 1-844-SCU-SENS. You can find us on Twitter. Let us know you're out there. But we're all burnt, and it's time to go. Hey, it's been a short show. I'm Cardinal. On behalf of Fan and Canuck, thank you all very much for listening.
Later. Bye. Stay warm.
Come on, March.